Welcome to History in Six, a place where we sample history in six-minute increments. I'm your host, Tima Lindell. Today, we're going to finish our discussion of Anne Hutchinson. Time is short. Let's jump into it. In the previous episode, we saw that Anne began to be considered subversive by the leaders of the colony. She found herself on these leaders' radar, and not in a good way. The reason was simple. If we believe the good works was all that was necessary to make it to heaven, then the clergy in New England had the power to determine who was a member of the church in good standing, i.e. who was on the path to heaven. And it was something that could be easily tracked. All we had to do was monitor the good work of our members. The Hutchinson Doctrine stripped the ministers of this power. Instead, people were free to self-select membership into a church. On top of that, people could receive divine grace without the clerical intermediary. That meant that anyone could receive the Spirit and preach as an ordained pastor, including women. Is it a surprise that those in charge of the colony found this line of thinking to be alarming? If people are wanting to strip you of your power, you're probably going to not take a very kind look at their line of thinking. By the end of 1636, the controversy was dividing the colony so sharply that leaders decided to take extreme measures. John Winthrop, who was just reelected governor in May of 1637, immediately set about dealing with Mrs. Hutchinson because he became fixated on her and regarded her as the root of the problem. In November of 1637, Winthrop had Hutchinson, Wheelwright, and all of their immediate followers brought before the general court on charges of heresy. They were able to convict Wheelwright easily, but they had a real difficulty in securing a conviction of Hutchinson, mainly because they had trouble producing evidence against her. Women never spoke in public, nor did they write anything. And as we saw in the previous episode, she didn't write any letters, she didn't publish any pamphlets. Becomes very difficult to prosecute someone if you don't have any hard evidence against them. And there was no hard evidence against Hutchinson. But when you have the governor and lieutenant governor prosecuting your trial, you're not going to win. Much like Atticus Finch's client in To Kill a Mockingbird, she was found guilty despite the lack of evidence. And thus Hutchinson and some 75 of her followers were banished from the colony. But Winthrop wasn't done with her. As I said, he became fixated on her. Winthrop followed the conviction up in May of 1638 with a trial within the Church of Boston. Cotton and the other ministers who had originally championed Hutchinson's beliefs saw the writing on the wall and walked away from Hutchinson and Wheelwright. They were both found guilty and excommunicated from the church. It was pretty clear from Winthrop's writing that he believed Anne Hutchinson was in some way being manipulated by the devil and was in fact a witch. He believed that many of the wrongs with the colony could be traced back to her. And he was quick to communicate these results to England so that all our godly friends might not be discouraged from coming to Massachusetts. Hutchinson and her supporters only had one real option to save their lives, and that was to leave the Bay Colony. They sought refuge in Williams's Rhode Island, where most of them settled and flourished. Anne's husband, though, passed away shortly after they arrived in Rhode Island. Anne and her six children then moved further west to the Dutch colony at Pelham Bay, what is modern-day New York. Here they became the unfortunate and innocent casualties in the unrest between colonists and Indians. Anne and all but one of her daughters were slaughtered and burned in an Indian raid. Of course, the violent death of Mrs. Hutchinson and her family was prompted, interpreted as a "see, I told you so" moment by the Orthodoxy in New England. The church leadership produced pious literature about this American Jezebel. If you don't know what a Jezebel is, it is a morally unrestrained woman. All of the scorn and righteousness was initiated by a scathing pamphlet from none other than Winthrop himself. And thus ends the story of one of the most prominent women of colonial times. It wasn't until the 1960s women's movement before Anne's accomplishments were brought to light and balanced the tarnished image from those times, and was truly one of the champions of the antinomian view, a leader in the fight for religious freedom in the fledgling colonies. And she did much to keep this viewpoint alive and burning in those early colonial days. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.